Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Father, we bless your name.
Hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the
King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Lord of glory, the living one, the one who is, which was, and is to come, who liveth, who was dead, who's alive forevermore. We crown you with many crowns and we worship your name. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. Thank you for offering yourself as a lamb of sacrifice, the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that precious lamb of God, Jehovah, the Son of the Most High, our Savior, our Messiah. We worship you this morning. We give you praise from the depths of our soul. We acknowledge your lordship and your majesty. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your life, the life of your Father, which you inherited, the life which you became. You took on that life. Even while you were a man, you didn't deny him. You didn't deny your Father. You took his life. You journeyed to the cross. You fulfilled all obedience. You fulfilled all righteousness. We worship you, Lamb of God. That slain Lamb. That Lamb of God. Whose blood speaks better things than that of Abel. We worship you, our High Priest. After the order of Melchizedek, you are a priest. Because you continue forever, Lord, you are able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by you. We worship you, Lord Jesus, this morning. Oh, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things which my heart has made concerning the King. I extol your Lordship, your Majesty, your glory, your dominion. You are to be praised from the ends of the earth. You are the first begotten from the dead. Before you there's none. You are the first. The first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. We give you all the praise. We worship you. Because all the heavens declare your glory. All of creation declares your splendor. See, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are beautiful, Jesus. We bless your name. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We adore your name. We worship you. We worship you. Our beloved, we give you praise. Oh, your name is an ointment poured forth. Your name is an ointment poured forth. That everlasting name that is true and faithful and gracious. That name that is salvation. The wonderful name of Jesus. For God has so exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. We confess this morning. Our tongues confess that you are our Lord. We worship you. Oh, we bless your name. We exalt you. We extol you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Let's just lift our voice now and just worship the King of Glory. Just lift your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Worship the King of Glory. Worship the King of Glory. Worship the King of Glory, the King of Kings, who is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. To which of the angels did he say at any time, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? But to the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever. For the scepter of your throne is of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Because you love righteousness, you hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You are anointed with gladness. We worship you, glad one, glad one, glad one, glad one, anointed King, the Christ of God, the anointed one, the anointed King, the Lamb, the Lord, the provision of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You who have died for all men, O Messiah Hasid, you say, greater love and no man than this, that one will die for his friend. Greater love and no man than this. Thank you, you paid the greatest price for us. You purchased us, you've redeemed us, and we give you praise. We owe you a great debt that we can never pay. For that we worship you this morning. We acknowledge you, our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this melody in our soul this morning. Thank you for this song in our heart. It's a song of thanksgiving. It's a song of praise. A song of reverence to you. O Messena, Sihana, Sestona, Hanika, Sota, Lebrehena, Yestanani, on Divina, Setoria, Dabahona, Vakata, Nikrenosa, and send on Ivahan, no Sehedahona, Eshandana, Homet, Second, Abrahanosa. Oh, we worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Kabatana, Kabatons. Sanasia, reverence your name, yes, Father, Paradona, Samaniha Tomatana. Ha, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for such a great impression of your person, of who you are. You are real and present. You are alive forevermore. And we worship you. We live to worship you. We live to give you praise. We live to the praise of the glory of your grace. When we are accepted in the beloved, we worship you, the pattern son, the son of God, our prototype, our mark, our inheritance. All that is in you is all that we desire. All that you became, you're such a beautiful man. Such a beautiful man. You're so beautiful. You're so lovely. We worship you. In the beauty of holiness, we give you praise. Because you are worthy to be praised. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take us to the place where you are. In the bosom of your Father. You said no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Bring declarations. We want to hear the voice of your mouth. We want to hear comfort. We want to hear you speak to us. Bring us into your chambers as the bridegroom brings in his bride. Have a feast of love this morning. Feast with us. Commune with us. Let our heart burn within us as we hear the truth of your gospel, of your life, of your grace. We worship you. Thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness that's better than life. We submit everything to you right now in this short time that we have. Bring redemption. Redeem the time. Give us so much blessing that we won't have enough room to contain. Fill our hearts with the substances of God. Take us in, absorb us into the Spirit, that we won't be found. Rapture our soul into realities of the new day, realities of the new creation, realities of the second man, your realities, your things, your life, your hidden things, the mysteries of the Godhead that have taken seat in you. Bring us, Father, by your Son closer, by every word, by every utterance. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Are there no ministering spirits sent for to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We yield our hearts to the ministration of the Spirit by the emissaries of God. Thank you, our Father. Bring us to quickening, to judgment, to life. Bring us into the fear of the Lord as these sacred truths are being declared from the throne of grace. Thank you, our Father. We worship your name this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, we worship you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Whew. Glory to God.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we cherish you. We cherish you. We cherish you. You are our possession. Everything. Our inheritance. Our lot. We have nothing better that can compare with you. Father, we thank you. We worship your name. Father, we exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Father, we worship you. We bless you, Father. We are in awe of you. We are in awe of you. We are in awe of you, Father. You've captivated us. Father, we can never be healed from your love. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for such an overwhelming reality of you, of your presence this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Oh, Father, we allow our hearts to rest in this place of worship, in this place where we can see and feel who you are to us. Father, we thank you. Lock us in.
Yes.
Lock us in into this place, into this anointed place, this beautiful, lovely, and sweet place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, everyone, again. Amen. She can come close today. Not to be far away. You need this one?
Yeah.
Okay, you can use it. How's everybody doing?
Thank you.
Are we enjoying God?
Yes.
Monday to Monday. Saturday to Saturday. Right. We're enjoying Him. Praise God. I know that the more we sow ourselves to Him, amen, the more He will begin to make Himself real to us.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the place of satisfaction and fulfillment, where He's no longer far away, but He's near. And we pray that as we study the Word, everything we receive will bring us closer to Him in our hearts. Thank you. I was just meditating today, and I just realized something that the ministry of the New Testament is easier to just teach principles, but really it's more difficult to teach in nature. I saw it today that's really what the ministry of the New Testament is about. It's not just if you're looking for principles, anybody can just read the Bible and gain principles. So if you do this and do that, you can achieve this result. And there are so many things you can see in the scripture, right? In terms of people finding a way to, you know, what to do, what not to do, direction and all that stuff. Praise God. But what the real substance of the Word is more than that. It's more than just a set of instructions. Amen. What we are doing, we are trying to excavate, trying to bring out the nature of Christ. So that kind of ministry is not just, there's a lot of spiritual work and energy that needs to be expended in terms of sowing into the Spirit, staying step by step with the Holy Ghost, right? Like on Saturday, for example, we can't just bring out anything and just begin to teach. Amen. We can't just drop the syllables, right? That's why every time we come, we have to wait. We have to worship and wait, and then allow there to be a clear direction. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Spirit, because the things that will produce the nature of Christ in us, those things are hidden deep in the Word, in the Spirit. It takes the Holy Ghost, praise God,
Amen,
to lead us. You know, He said, He leaded me on the path of righteousness, right, for His name's sake. Amen. God is a faithful shepherd. That's what I realized. That the reason why there might seem to be a scarcity of the revelation of truth is because, it's not because God isn't faithful. God is abundantly faithful. Jesus said it, that fear not, little flocks, because it is your Father's good pleasure, right, to give you the kingdom, to reveal the kingdom to you. Amen. So it's mostly faithfulness on our part. The discipline of learning the way of the Spirit, learning the culture of the Spirit, learning how to be around the oracle. you know, it's Christians that behave anyhow. When you go and see how those native doctors behave. You don't see in it. They have code. They have, once they enter their realm, there's a way they are around their oracle for it to you know, speak. So it's because it's when you're moving out of the natural, you're beginning to move into the Spirit. You have to submit your heart to the communion with Spirit. That's what, when you see those Babalawo, all those native doctors and priests, when they are doing their dance, they are doing their chant, they are doing the, why can't they just wear glasses and then bring out books and open and tell you what the oracle is saying? No, the oracle doesn't speak like that. Amen. The soul has to, you have to romance the oracle. You have to bring songs, and there's a way you have to be, because you are trying to break out of the natural and the cerebral frame of, you know, understanding, and you're trying to awaken communion and fellowship with spirits. That's what those songs are for. Those songs will move the soul into a place where the soul can gain what perception of spirits and commune with them. From that place of communion, after the Babalawo has done all his stuff, that they will now come and say this, do that. Amen. And now that's their world, but all those things are copied. The copy of the original. Praise God. We should know spirit more than them. We should know how to what? Commune with spirit. Because our Father is a spirit. God is spirit. He's also the Father of spirits. Praise the Lord. So, the ministry of the New Testament is a spiritual ministry. Praise the Lord. Paul calls it the ministry of the Spirit. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with entire seven words of wisdom. But I came to you what? With a demonstration. What is demonstration? Acting. Praise God. That demonstration of the Spirit wasn't talking about, it wasn't miracle. That's not demonstration. Demonstration of spirit means you are showing the culture, the way of the Spirit. There's a way spiritual beings are. About as many as are led by the Spirit of God. We are the sons of God. Who is a son? A son is a person who has come into the things of his Father. A son, what makes you a son is that you've entered some level of communion with your Father, that your Father can pass his things into you. You're not a son when you are a child. You're a child, you can play with your Father, but you haven't learned his ways. When you've learned the ways of your Father, you become a son. But you can't learn the ways of the Father if you've not rapport with him. Amen. As God will help us to begin to receive more of the New Testament ministry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, so remember last time we broke into something, I believe, last Saturday. I don't know if you can remember when we started speaking about the second man, right? And the new man. Can we remember who the new man is? Anybody? Yes, were you here? Were you in here? Or Inka? Yeah, so who is the second man?
The second man is the glorified Son of God.
Yes.
The resurrected Christ.
Yes, praise the Lord. And he is also the new man. The same. Praise God. That idea of newness. All night I was sleeping and I was tired. I was trying to sleep. But the Spirit of God kept waking me up. I was seeing verses in my sleep. I wake up, and it was like he wanted me to meditate. I was meditating, and I was asleep. I was still seeing them, and all the verses I started seeing are verses that have to do with newness, from Revelation, even from the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, you began to see there's so much about new. A lot of verses I began to see them. This area is, so there's an emphasis on newness in the Spirit. Amen. There are new things. Do you know there are new things? Who is the greatest philosopher that ever lived?
Aristotle.
Plato?
I don't know.
Socrates.
Socrates, Plato.
Some Greek man.
Yeah, definitely Greek.
I don't think so.
Really?
No. I think the greatest philosopher that lived was Solomon.
The Jewish one?
King Solomon.
Yeah?
Yeah. Some things that he said, unless he was lying. I don't think he was lying. I don't think it's everything he wrote that he knew. He couldn't write everything. But when you check the writings of Solomon, you know this is a guy whose mind has journeyed through thoughts. Praise God. He said, I the preacher, that I set forth to discover all the things that is done under the heavens. And so if you read the book of Proverbs, it seems like verse to verse, sometimes it seems as though there is no flow.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
says things.
Yeah.
He's just, right?
Yeah.
So he Solomon, in his soul, he had journeyed. That was a burden that was upon him. Because his father had fought all the wars for him. He didn't have to take any kingdom. He didn't have to do anything. So his burden was, he was just there. His mind was what? He was searching out under heavens. What is man all about? What's all this all about? He had grace to sow in his heart into discovery. I even believe it was that nature of discovery that led him into all those women. He must have said, okay, let me try all the women. Let's see. you get? Solomon was someone who went into discovery of pleasure. That's one thing he did. Pleasures. He wanted to experience everything in terms of thought. Yeah. In all of man, this natural world. He thought about things. Amen. He saw patterns, even in creation, in terms of human society. Right? That's why he's able to bring forth instructions from those journeys of his mind, his soul. He had his tourism in his heart. Praise God. So there's no area of dealings under the heavens from where he didn't bring forth some kind of wisdom. So he can bring forth one instruction from there, but that's not all his mind saw. Because he said that that's the task that he, of his soul. It was a burden upon him to search out what's done. At the end, he came to the conclusion that everything is what? Is vanity. When you put everything together, in the end, there was not just vanity. He said the word vexation of spirit. You know what that vexation means? It means that when you searched out everything, when you put them together, they are vain. The vanity of them vexed his spirit. He must have reached the end of these thoughts and found nothing satisfactory in them. Praise God. Think about a woman, for example. The soul can have all kinds of desires about women. Maybe he said, okay, let me try all kinds of women in the world. He must have finished them and desired that there's nothing in them. There's nothing. Praise the Lord. Another thing that Solomon said is that there's nothing new under the sun. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Even though men are having conquests, they are having pursuits, they are discovering their, you know, each sector of society, economy, in the academic realm, there's always a kind of, you know, is driven by discovery, desire for to come into new things. But Solomon said there's really nothing new. As long as it's under the sun, that's the key word. The grace that Solomon had was to see the things under the sun. Amen. His grace was to look at Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you know where that place is? Where he said that I, the preacher, Okay, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes 2. Let's read from verse 1.
Okay, 1:12.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ecclesiastes 1:12. Can someone read?
Okay. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven.
Amen.
This sore travel hath God given to.
Now, okay, hold on. See that word under heaven? Now, under heaven, not in heaven. Under. So that includes the heaven of the earth. There's the physical, you know, the sun there, that governs all the activities, right? That happens, even the days and nights. So he understood that. He understood seasons, right? You see, he spoke about seasons in chapter 3.
Yeah.
To every thing, there's a season and a time. So, so even in natural seasons, days. When God created the two lights, the sun and the moon, he says that they will be for seasons and for times, right? So Solomon searched all these things. Continue reading.
Okay. This search travel hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith.
Yes. So, okay, hold on. Now, he says this sore travail. It's painful.
Yeah.
It's a travail of his soul. He couldn't rest. It was something upon him that made him begin to explore all that. God wanted to produce something from Solomon. So he says that God giving to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Okay, continue.
I have seen all the works that are done under the sun.
You see all?
Yeah.
And behold, yes. All is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Continue.
That which is good cannot be made straight.
See conclusion.
And that which is wanting cannot be numbered.
Okay, so do you see this is the problem man is trying to solve. All man is trying to do is to make straight things that are crooked.
Mm-hmm.
But we go into it in a circle. When we solve this one, we are creating another problem called side effects that you get in this natural sphere. Amen. Creation is wiser than us. We have become lower than the things created. Continue.
I communed with
mine own heart.
I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all that have been before me.
Yea,
my heart had great experience of wisdom and
knowledge. Yeah.
And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly and perceived that this also is vexation of spirit.
Praise God. Now, he said, I give my heart to know wisdom. So these are the two kinds of beings you see on the earth. There are those who pursue wisdom, and there are those who pursue folly. You know, there are people who pursue folly. There are people who are in the world. That's their appetite. They want to explore the foolishness.
Hey.
What? Yeah. Foolish things. People just do foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have pleasure in foolishness. You don't know that.
I have one example.
Huh?
Is there an example?
Yeah, is there an example?
Okay. Now, a person who knows that he should be married to a woman, but decides, no, that's not enough, let's explore that man area, let's see how, it's foolishness. What do you think drove man to that place? It's a deliberate thing men are doing. Yes.
Deliberate?
Oh yes, people are doing it.
Because
there are those who tell you they were born with it.
Yeah,
no. No. It's not true. It's not true. Go into science. There's nothing that scientifically supports that. The markers between a man and a woman are clear scientifically. But when a child grows up, there are different kinds of foolishness. A child can come and say one day, I feel like a lady. That's when a lady's dress, a guy can start wearing a lady's dress, a young child. That's just foolishness of a child.
Yes.
But there's a way you can take that thing and hold it as if it's something, and the child will become convinced in his heart that he, what? Then you'll say, oh, it's from birth. No, it's not. It's not. The soul picked that arrangement by evil spirits. Evil spirits are the ones doing it. They will bring the thought, they will bring the feeling, they will bring everything. So when the person says, well, I feel like a guy, and I can say, I feel like a woman, he's not lying. He feels like a woman. But that thing was produced by an error. If you just go scientifically, biologically, check, you will see them. You can. There's no confusion in that area at all. Right. You can tell, is this a guy or is this a lady?
I wish I knew this before, because I was speechless when the lady was telling me. I did not know the answer to give her his life.
Yeah.
I knew it's a lie.
Yeah.
I know this is wrong, mm-hmm. But then she was convincing me that people are born with it.
There are people who grow up feeling that way. But that doesn't mean it's right. Those are things that should be corrected in a child. The child will carry, come on, take off that dress. This, go and wear your cloth. Don't behave like that. Why are you behaving like that? This is how you, what you should do. You correct it in the child. So it's not really about how, whether they feel it genuinely or that's not the thing. There's an absolute right and wrong. God made things a certain way. Even if God made something a certain way and that thing is feeling what? Out of place. It's an error. There's the power of God available to correct that error. It's like sickness, for example. We're not supposed to be sick. It's the work of the enemy that does that. But you don't just accept it. Right? No, there are some things you correct. Praise God. So all this experimentation that of society we are doing now, all this whole liberal thing, a lot of those is foolishness. It's just human beings being foolish. Your environment, everything within you is telling you this is what it ought to be. But there's something in you that's telling you that let's explore the deviant side of it. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you know how you're telling me that you came up with this thing where they say abortion is the cure to poverty.
Mm.
That's foolishness.
That's foolishness too, you get. So this right now, one of the great pushes that coming from some countries, Canada is one of them, towards the developing world, is that one of the main cures to poverty is don't just give them food, introduce birth control, contraception, right, and abortion to them, so they can control their reproduction. So they are like, well, the main cause of poverty is that what? Reproduction, and it causes a cycle, and they give you all their analysis and everything. But that is foolishness. Wisdom, real wisdom, would tell you, no, that's wrong. That's not where you should try and solve the problem from. Yeah. If the problem is that you won't genuinely think people are giving birth to too many kids, if you even think that's the problem, then it's even a better approach to educate them. You get? not to educate them so the children are not produced in the first place. It's not to go and kill the child. You get human beings, we've lost the power of conviction, of argument and of persuasion. Praise God. And the real power of persuasion is rooted in wisdom and counsel. You know that? Wisdom and counsel. When there's deep wisdom and counsel, you can almost persuade anybody out of anything. Wisdom and counsel can deal with error. It can deal with wrong thinking. It can deal with anything. But when the nations have been weakened and powerless, we don't know how we should coordinate ourselves and manage ourselves in the world and manage our resources in the world, we resort to more brute and barbaric means. And who's teaching us those things? Evil spirits. And it's just that the same evil spirits who's weakening man, who's draining wisdom and counsel from men. That the same evil spirits who are what? Proposing all these solutions. Praise God. So these are just some of the things that Solomon saw. Okay, can we continue reading?
Okay. I commune with my own heart, saying,
yes.
Lo, I am come to greater state.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly.
Yeah.
I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit.
Mm.
For much wisdom is much grief.
Yes.
And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth
sorrow. Praise God. Now you see that thing? That what kind of wisdom is that?
Folly.
Huh?
Man's wisdom.
Folly. That's man's wisdom. The wisdom under the sun brings grief. You know why wisdom brings grief? Because you get so wise that all you begin to see is problems. Amen. And foolishness.
Yes.
But you can't solve them.
Yeah.
There are some real problems in creation. When man fell, there's a way creation was made to be. The kind of man that was made to manage this creation doesn't exist anymore. Praise God. So we have been mismanaging it and creating some, problems in our world. But so the kind of wisdom that's supposed to be able to manage things here is not here anymore. So the kind of wisdom that men exercise themselves in will lead to what? Vexation and grief. Praise God. Because it can't bring forth a true solution. See, for I said in my heart, right? Chapter 2, verse 1. Go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. So he didn't just explore wisdom. He explored what? Pleasure as well. And I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? You see that? One of the greatest drive now, things that drive people in our world is that need to be entertained. Right, it's crazy. Everybody wants to be entertained now. Right, but even in entertainment, there is what? There is displeasure. That's what he's saying here. He said, "I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? What does it avail in the end?" I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. Yet acquainting my heart with what wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for this. What was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven, all the days of their life? I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith. The wood that bringeth four trees. Praise God. So he just began to list all the different things that I did. Amen. You get to a point where, verse 17, he now said, I hated life, because the works that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is what?
Vanity.
Vanity and what? Vexation of spirit. You just, if you read this place when you have time, you will see all kinds of things that his heart went into. Praise the Lord. See verse 15. Okay, see verse 14. See, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one even happened to all of them. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened to me, even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. Can you decode that statement then?
For me, I guess, because as loud as sound,
yeah, it's the same.
Same for both,
both the wise man and the fool. He found that after all his acquisition of wisdom, he found that the same thing that happens to the fool, the same happens to me. What's the end? We all get to a place of what? Vanity and vexation of spirit. Praise God. So you see that later the guy came to a realization that there is nothing new under the sun. Amen. So, but the message this morning, and this is what has been in my heart, is that really there is something new. There is something new. The one thing that Solomon did not see was just Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, something new happened. Because a new kind of man was born. Amen.
Amen.
And he wasn't born in heaven. He was born here. So there is a cycle of creation that man fell into when man fell after the fall. Right? In that cycle, there's nothing we could do to break out of it. Because we're all controlled by the life of the Son. Praise God. But what God had to do in order for man to be able to rise up upwards beyond the vanity of creation, God had to find a way to bring forth a new thing. He said, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? Praise God. God had to bring forth what? A new thing that had never been seen before that can rise above the what? The life of the fallen creation. Amen. Jesus Christ rose out of the grave. You know that? He rose out of the dust. He went into the lowest parts, the lowest depths of hell, and then he rose. Praise the Lord. So God created a new kind of man. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, help. Oh, help. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 41 says there is one glory of the sun, right? Another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and then a spiritual body. Praise God. Now, when it says so also is the resurrection of the dead, this resurrection of the dead, don't see it as just someone being raised from the grave. Amen. Now, before this happened, the one that happened to Christ, some people, Lazarus raised from the grave. But it wasn't this kind of resurrection. Right? In the Old Testament, people were raised from the grave. Right, remember when Elisha's bones, there is someone, you know, people, that wasn't new. Someone being rising from the dead wasn't new. So it wasn't that Jesus just raised from the grave, was raised from the grave physically. That was not what he's talking about here. That's not the remarkable thing that happened. The remarkable thing that happened was a form of life was sown, and a different form of life rose up. That had never happened before. So this place is describing a kind of resurrection. Amen. The kind of resurrection where some things happen is the characteristics of that kind of resurrection. In that kind of resurrection, when corruption is sown, what happened? Incorruption is raised. When dishonor is sown, glory is raised. When weakness is sown, power is raised. When a natural body is sown, a spiritual body is raised. Now, all these things that I mentioned, did they all happen to Jesus? Mm-hmm. These are all descriptions of his resurrection. Right?
So the opposite of what was sown,
yes, was raised up. Then he now went to now begin to speak about the first Adam and then the last Adam. So it is written, the first Adam was made the living soul and the last Adam was made the quickening spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Praise God. Now, verse 44, what did he say? It is sown a natural body and then raised a what?
Spiritual
body. After describing the kind of resurrection, and now from verse 45 down, is now relating that description to what happened in Christ. The journey of Christ from living soul, quickening spirit. You see? That's verse 45. Then verse 46, it now talks about the sowing. So the sowing didn't happen until the living soul had become a quickening spirit. That is Adam. That quickening spirit was an Adam. Amen. Verse 45, 6 now says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is what? Spiritual. Amen. So there's a first in resurrection, there's the first and the second. The first is that which is sown, right? The second is that which is what? Raised up. So it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, howbeit, was not first that which is spiritual, amen, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is what? The Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the what?
Heavenly.
For what? Verse 50, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you now see the whole reason for this resurrection is for what? The reason for the resurrection is, yes, read verse 50. Hi, brethren.
To inherit the kingdom.
Can, Remember, corruption is sown. You're raising corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That's the resurrection. He's not telling you, now this I say. You see that word, now this I say. After saying all this stuff and describing it, now. Yes. So this is the main point he was getting to. But he had to what? Build it up. They now said, now, this I say. This is what I'm saying. Brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit what? The kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So for anything or anyone that will inherit the kingdom must have gone through this resurrection. Anything. Except through Jesus. So Jesus Christ went through it so that he can inherit what? The kingdom. As soon as that man, that new man was resurrected, and he entered heaven. When the Father saw him, what did he say to him? says, sit at my right hand till I what? Make your enemies your footstool. Began to speak about the kingdom to him. Right? He said, the scepter of your kingdom shall be what? Righteousness. Amen. So Jesus Christ, as soon as he became the new man, as soon as the new man was born, he sat on the throne. That's he inherited what? The kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit what? The kingdom. For if you are flesh and blood, you have to be sown. Amen. Now, flesh and blood does not just mean natural flesh. You know what I mean? It means the fleshly man. It means if all your dealings, all your operation, like what Solomon described, the activities of flesh and blood.
Yeah.
That's what Solomon was just discussing. What does flesh and blood do? What do they, you get that? All those activities of flesh and blood, they can't inherit God's kingdom. That flesh and blood has to be sown, amen, so that a better man can be raised. It's that man who will what? Inherit the kingdom. Another word for now, this resurrection, is another word for it. Resurrection means that you are a new life is being what? Produced, right? Mm-hmm. Right? What? Yeah? Born, that's the word. Born. So this resurrection is a birth. Praise God. So that tells you anything that will inherit the kingdom has to be born after this order of birth. Now, if the spirit of a man wants to inherit the kingdom, what must that spirit do? It must be born after this order. Now, if a soul wants to inherit the kingdom, the soul must be what?
Born.
You can't say by virtue of the spirit's birth that even if the soul is still earthly and carnal, the soul can't cling onto the spirit's birth and what? Inherit the kingdom. Because the soul, God needs the soul to participate in what? The activities of the kingdom. Because in the soul, that's what God really needs. That's where the will is. That's where the desire is. Any spirit that rises before God that doesn't have the soul capacity is not useful to God. It's just there. Because it's through that spirit, the will of that spirit is inside, through the soul. It expresses his will, expresses his desires. All the things that God will need a man to do, to participate in his kingdom, those things are properties of the man's soul. Amen. So, that's why you see, it's a great thing and a great desire of God. The whole purpose why the whole scripture was written is so that the soul can attain what? The resurrection. Do you know that the scripture was not written for anybody's spirit? I was telling praise just now as we were coming. Remember what I told you? That the Bible wasn't written for people's spirit. Your spirit doesn't need to read the Bible. Your spirit knows everything in the Bible. Your spirit has been joined with God. It doesn't need to be pastored. It doesn't need to go to church. No pastor can pastor a spirit. The spirit has become what? A new creation. It has all the fullness and the substance of the divine nature. Amen. But that can never gain expression without the soul. So the reason for the gospel is for what? The soul of man. The reason for the faith that was given to us, called the faith of the Son, or our faith, is the faith for what? For the soul. Receiving the end of your faith, the what? Salvation of your soul. This birth, if this kind of this resurrection that they were speaking about was only if it was sufficient for the spirit alone to be raised, We won't need any need for epistles. There will be no need for epistles and scriptures and all these things. As soon as your spirit has been come born again, right? You know, the spirit, your spirit did not need to know the gospel to be born again. Do you know that? All your spirit needed to know is believe. Believe and agree. Accept. That's all that was needed. It was the spirit believing, the soul believing, that made the spirit alive. Amen. But the soul didn't need to come into the revelation of the nature of Christ. Sorry, the soul did not need to come into the revelation of the knowledge of Christ for it to believe unto the salvation of your spirit.
Oh, okay.
You get?
Okay.
You get what yeah. Praise God. All the soul just needed was just to be convicted. Right? And just believe him. So if you believe with your heart, right, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then believe your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Your spirit is saved. But all these epistles, God had to find a man called Paul, encounter him, all kinds of things, and then reveal his son in him, and then they wrote this Bible, and then the thing the church was giving birth to, right, so that those who were to be saved were added to the church. Right? The reason for it is just that the resurrection that the spirit man has encountered,
yes,
the soul must what? Encounter that resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see 2 Corinthians 5, Second Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
yes,
a new creature, all things are passed away.
Yeah.
Behold, all things are become.
Okay, hold on. Now read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read from verse 15. Sorry. Yeah.
And that he died for all,
yeah,
that they which live, mm-hmm, should not henceforth live unto themselves,
yeah,
but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Yeah.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Yep.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh,
yeah,
yet now henceforth know we him no more.
Mm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, mm, is a new creature,
yeah,
all things are passed away,
yeah,
all things are become new.
Yeah.
And all things are of God,
yes,
who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ,
yes,
and hath given up to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Praise God. Amen. So, first in verse 16, it says that henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yet we have known Christ after the flesh. And what is doing Christ after the flesh?
The works, right?
Now, that Christ after the flesh, which was Christ after the flesh? What expression? That was the expression of the first man.
Yeah.
Right? Before he became new. You guess. So knowing him, there's a way you can know him in that his first man stature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that man was a glorious man. Mm-hmm. Terrible guy. The things he said, what he did, there's a way you can study that man and try to base on what you're studying, try and create a path, a way of life for yourself. Amen. But all you are studying is just the fullness of Adam. That studying is not enough. Knowing him in that order is not enough. So it's not enough to just read, know that man and interpret how he dealt with situations.
Mm.
There are streams of Christianity that's the way they mean, you know.
Mm.
There's so much focus on that gospel, synoptic gospels. What would Jesus do? A lot of that, what would Jesus do? He's trying to interpret how he handled things and all that stuff. Amen. Now that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? But that's not enough for the hope of our salvation. Amen. So, though we know man after the flesh, even as we have verse 17. If any man be, okay, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet, though we have known Christ, so means that there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time when you know that at that degree of Christ, because we also need to come to a measure of that full stature. Amen. But though we have known him in that capacity, yet now henceforth, know we him no more, means not in that way anymore. But we have to know him in a different way. Verse 17, therefore, if any man then be in Christ, he is what? A new what? Creature. Amen. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Now, all things are of God. Those all things that are becoming new, these are new things, are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by what? By Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, the issue is that that man of Christ after the flesh, that man was a very wonderful, good man, if all your hope is in coming back to the stature of the man that this world was made for. So that kind of man will be able to manage the world, be able to manage the creation, manage, you know, deal with our issues of societal issues, even deal with, you know, issues of, you know, health and all that stuff. The kind of things Jesus touched all those areas. Jesus dealt with issues that have to do with a man and a wife. Why are people, you know? If Jesus was here, his wisdom would handle divorce, to handle children misbehaving, to handle parents misbehaving, to handle even all the kind of decadence that we've seen in our natural world. Jesus brought out wisdoms in his walk to deal with all those things. If you study that Christ well, you will be a wonderful, you will live a wonderful, beautiful Christianity. Now, I found that coming to that stature is the hope of plenty, a lot of Christianity in the earth today. Amen. That's what that stature can give, and it's beautiful. But what that thing cannot do, that stature can't reconcile you to God. Does it make sense? That stature will make you come into full knowledge of the things of men. You'll be able to deal with issues of man's life and man's, you know, situation, but it will not bring you, because God has a different kind of life that is higher than our what? The life of Adam. So even if we are able to journey to that place and we have not reached what? The end of faith. What is committed to us is what they call the ministry of reconciliation. That reconciliation is the reconciliation to God. To be reconciled means we become one with him in our soul. The only thing that can bring us to that place is what? The new man. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And the reason why that stature is not enough is because that stature is not good enough for man's eternal destiny. It's a good thing. Praise God. It's good. But it doesn't attain the promise of God for man.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I'm not saying that that it's like that Adamic life would be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
But the life that Jesus now came into,
yep,
cannot be tempted.
It cannot be tempted.
In Adam's nature, right, mm-hmm, and sin could enter.
Yes.
Right. And yeah, and of course that's why the tree of life was in the garden, because God wanted to give him a life that was above,
yes,
the threat of corruption,
yeah,
and the threat of sin. And Jesus came to that place.
Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus came above temptation. When he was Adam, he could still be tempted, though he overcame it.
Yeah.
And he could not see sin, but he was still tempted. But when you come into the divine stature of God, you come to a place of eternal salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nature that... Sorry, go ahead.
But when is it the promise of God for man? That's it, our promise that we should be the particle of his divine nature.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's the promise. I just mm-hmm. need to make sure I have that
yep.
straight.
Okay. The promise of God for man is the God's initial idea for man in the first place, that man will become a rest for him, that they will abide together. Right? Amen.
Amen.
In his. Now, do you know that God is new? You know God is old? And God is new as well. Depending on where you're looking from. If you move beyond the natural and move into God's world, in God's world, God is ancient. You can't track where he came from. He's the beginning. He's an ancient, he's the ancient of days. That's why when Ezekiel saw the vision of the cherubims, these cherubims, they are the ones who cover him. See, who dwells in the midst of the cherubs. So in that cherubic revelation of God, God is ancient. He was the one that had that revelation of God as the ancient of days. The one who was, is, and is to come. He's timeless, boundless. Now, God is in that world, God is old and ancient. But when you bring God into our world, he's new. Because there was a point when he was that stature of God was raised in a man, that was a new thing to creation. Because God had never been revealed in that way before. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So God himself is actually new. He is new. Amen. Where man is getting to our destination, the promise of God, is to bring man into newness. That's the promise of God. To make man new. Anything that has not been made new cannot, is not good enough to handle God. Because God wants to what? Reveal all of himself to creation. But anything that is not new, that doesn't have that new capacity, has not risen above the present creation. And therefore cannot hold God. Remember the book of Revelation 21. After the city has come and announced, behold, I make all things new. Amen. Now let's read the book of Revelation 21 from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Revelation 21. Can someone read from verse 1? Yes.
A new earth.
Amen. Now, before we go there, we're speaking about promise. Right? So, let's interpret that promise in the light of what we are speaking about. So, we'll come back to Revelation 21. Let's go to James. What? Huh?
My mind skipped when he said we're talking about promise.
Why? Because promise is your brother. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What do you say? So let's open to the book of 2 Peter. Chapter
3.
Yes. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read from verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
Okay, so we're going to see what that promise now.
As some men count slackness.
Yeah.
But his long suffering to us. What?
Yes.
Not willing that any should perish.
Yeah.
But that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
In that day. Okay, in thee, which the heavens shall pass away,
yeah,
with a great noise,
huh?
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat,
yeah.
The earth also,
and the works
that are therein shall be burned.
Okay,
up.
Hold on. So when it says the earth and the, what are those works that are therein? In the earth.
Assurance.
It says the earth also and the works that are therein. So the works that are in the earth. These are all those works that Solomon was talking about. These are all the works in the earth. Everything. Praise the Lord. So first of all, the heavens, the present heavens, chapter 10 there, in which the heavens shall pass away and then melt, and then the earth also and all the works, right, that are in the earth. Verse 11.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved,
yeah,
what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Uh-huh.
Looking for and hasten unto, yeah, the coming of the day of God,
yeah,
wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved,
yep,
and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat.
Yep.
Nevertheless, we according to his promise,
what?
Look for new heavens.
New what? Heavens and what?
And a
new earth, wherein what?
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Do you see that promise now? I said before, the promise is that we'll come into what? Newness. In Revelation 21, he said, behold, I make all things new. That's God. God, where God is getting to, God wants to expire and take out the whole of the present. It's vanity to him. Both we, all our pursuits, all our works, everything that's done on the earth is all old and is vain to him. God will remove all of them. His promise for man. The reason why he can't do it yet is because what? He has something precious that is still residing in creation. That's you and I. But the promise for us is that we will come above, we will be ripped out of creation, and then he can do away with it. So we're now saying we who have this promise. We read back to verse 11. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens shall be on fire and be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that new heavens and new earth, Revelation 21, verse 1, says, and I saw what? A new heaven and what? A new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Praise the Lord. And then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. As a bride adored for her husband. Verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is the promise. But by this time, we would have come by God's grace and would have attained this promise. God cannot be our God and we'd be his people, and he cannot dwell with us if what? We haven't come into newness. That's the reason for the new creation. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more, death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, behold, said, behold, I make all things new, right? And he said unto me, write, for these words are true, and what? Faithful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What does he make new? All things. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things are passed away. What becomes new?
All things.
All. What are all? When God says all things, does he include that tree there? In all things? No.
If any man.
Mm-hmm. In Christ. All things in us. So in this language of all things, you know what they're talking about here. They're not talking about all these things that will pass away. By the time they're talking of all things now, they're talking about things that God has interest in, that he will make new. Praise God. So he says, all things are what? Of No.
Behold,
I make all things new. In that 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, that's why it says that if any man be in Christ, the new creation, all things that passed away and wrought, all things become the next. What's the next verse say?
All things are of God.
It's verse 18 there. It says, and all things are of God. This is the end. God's the picture of the end. Is when he, anything he looks at, he finds himself there. Because things would have been reconciled to him. Do you open it?
Yeah.
What does it say?
And all things are of God.
Yeah.
Who hath reconciled us to himself.
To himself. Jesus Christ. Amen. So when he has reconciled us to himself by Christ, then in his eyes, all things, right, will be of him. Now, see, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I said, write for unto me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. They will happen. Amen.
Yeah.
They shall come to pass. He says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That word, it is done. This is the end of everything. Once this has happened. So this is his promise. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit what? All things. And then I will be what? His God. And he shall be what? My son. And all things that he will inherit are of God. The future, the purpose and goal of the new man is to inherit what? All things, praise God, that are of God. Amen. Now, newness now. We know this language now speaking about the newness of the soul. Right? How would the soul develop to a place where it can handle and contain the things of God? Amen. God. There's no more time. Well, let's just bring it home. Let's read one verse. Let's relate it to the work of God in the soul. Let's read the book of Isaiah. Well, let's read Ezekiel, actually. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So, you know, what we're talking about is inheritance now. It's the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, right? Neither can corruption inherit in corruption. We're talking of inheritance. No, they're talking about inheriting what? All things. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Those are the things. God has his own things. It is his things. God, man receiving God's things. That's soul being saved. Faith purchases those things. Is what our faith, the faith of the Son of God, is supposed to bring all those things to us.
And I think this thing also revolves around the meekness that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Of the inheriting. I don't know, meekness has just been in my
life.
That's
it. Those are his things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Inheriting, they have to know, inherit. And that's the kingdom of God.
So yeah.
Like inheriting.
Are you guys, you guys know we meet on Tuesdays here? Yeah, we do. We've been meeting for a while now on Tuesday, but you know you guys are busy, so it's just been mostly me here and sometimes Praise and Tomiwa and the like for Tuesday evening. But we have recordings of them, and so if you guys have chance, you guys can listen. If you go to the website where the messages are, there's a way you can search by meetings. In this meeting, you will see Life Feast. It doesn't come up once you open the site, but once you click on the Life Feast, you'll see, I think right now there are about 5 different messages there. We've been speaking about the kingdom. So we've been going deep into the understanding of the kingdom of God. That's what she's talking about, meekness, the real essence, how to bring it home. What does it imply? Then when you say you're receiving all things, what is that? How does it show on the inside in our, you know, how do you measure it? So if you have a chance, you can read that.
What time on Tuesday?
Start at 6:30. Yeah, 6:30 every Tuesday. So you can also drop by as well if anytime you have a chance. Praise God. It says, thank you. Ezekiel 36. Verse 24, it says, for I will make take you from among the heathen, amen, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. The idea of land speaks of inheritance. Right? That was the inheritance of Israel, was that land, the promised land. So promise and then inheritance, they are together. It's called the promised land. Right? So God's promise, God wants to bring his people to an inheritance. Amen. Now, he says, I will bring you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. A what?
A new heart.
Also will I give to you.
A new spirit.
Will I put within you? And then I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Then what will I now do?
I will put my spirit within you.
Amen. So you see, everything in verse 26 is to prepare you for verse what? 27. My spirit.
Yeah.
His things. Him. The content of God himself is spirit. So when he says my spirit, is he really saying myself? What you are supposed to inherit.
Wow.
That's what I will now put that within you. But there's a preparation. Before that can happen, there's some operations of newness that needs to happen in your soul. Mm-hmm. God can't put his own spirit. When he says my spirit, he can't put that in anything that is not new. And anything that hasn't been made new cannot take the divine nature of God. That's what this my spirit there means. That's the reason for the new man. Amen.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Give us a new spirit.
Yeah.
Before he puts a spirit inside us.
Yes.
Because that new spirit was in verse 26.
Yeah.
And then verse 27 is
my spirit. Yeah.
So, do you understand where the question is going?
I understand. So you mean what was the difference between?
Yeah,
were you here that day? We explained this.
I was. But then I want to go deeper. That's a new spirit.
Yeah. So God, first of all, you receive a new heart. When you get born again, you get a new heart. You're talking of your soul now. The spirit has done its thing, right? But when you get born again, a new heart. The reason for a new heart is for adoption. You were adopted when you got born again. Your soul. You was not born. Your spirit was born. Your soul was not born, but your soul became God's child by adoption. You know the difference in adoption? You don't have the genes of the man.
Wow.
But the man took you and prayed for you, purchased you, and adopted you. Come. Now he adopts you, but he wants to transfer his genes into you so that you can be born. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Transferring his genes is him putting what? Mm-hmm.
Question answer?
Okay. So when you get that new heart, it's fresh. Nobody has a heart of flesh the day they get born again. Even though you are a believer, you still have a heart of stone. If you want to check whether that heart is the heart of stone, it should bring one mighty love commandment for you to obey. As a new believer, you can't obey it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They have to now begin to walk on that stony heart. First of all, you have to bring a new spirit into the heart. That new spirit will walk on the heart until the heart becomes flesh. When the heart is flesh, then that's what God said, this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel in that day. I will put my laws in their heart and write it in the tablets. that I'll put my law in there, my writing in the tablets of the heart. You can't write it on a stone. God is done with writing law on stones. New Testament. After I wrote that law on the stone, that's the end. See, now we're looking for flesh that we'll write our laws in. Praise God. God writing his law on stone is almost like you trying to discern Christ after the flesh. All you are getting for are commandments, but it's not written in your heart. For it to be written in your heart has to become flesh first. A new spirit, spirit of newness. Praise the Lord. Then you can now inherit the things of God. And said, then I will put my spirit within you and then cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments, praise the Lord, and do them. After that, and I said, then ye shall now dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Praise the Lord. See that language there? When you will dwell into the land, in the land of your fathers, means the land that was promised. That's the promised land in the spirit. The promised land in the spirit is God. Once you've come to contain God, take all of him. You've come into the what was promised to you. Then he now says, and you shall be my people, I will be your God. That's the same language you just read in Revelation, right? Mm-hmm. I will be their God because you have received what? The promise. You see? Verse 7 of Revelation 21. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Inherit all things means you have received my spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? You've inherited all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God. Let's just thank God today. Father, we thank you for just this word you brought. You are instructing us. You are moving us further. You are making it solid. You are solidifying our understanding. You are making us see the promise clearly. You are making it clear in our hearts. You are making our hearts more single. You're making us, Father, to realize that there is not that much that we need to do. You know, Jesus said to Mary, you are encumbered about, to Martha, sorry, that you are encumbered about too many things. Too many things. But this one thing is needful. I said, Mary has chosen that path. Mary sat at the feet of Christ, receiving all they had to say. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to sit at your feet, to hear the voice of your mouth, to hear your words. We are learning about the new things, the things that you have, newness which you brought to mankind through your Son. And he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, we are hearing. Begin to do that work of giving birth to us again. Father, begin to do that work of resurrection, the resurrection of our soul. The transformation of our soul. Yeah, we have been adopted, but that's not enough. Transfer your genes into us. Give birth to us. Give birth to us, Father. Give birth to us. Produce your life, your genes, the instructions of your life. Write your laws in our heart. Put it within us, O God. We want to receive of your spirit. We want to come to full inheritance where we have inherited all of you. Father, we thank you this morning. He says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens shall be dissolved. So that if you know that these things will happen, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Father, begin to show us what kind of persons we ought to be, how we ought to change, how we ought to yield ourselves to this work, to receive a new heart, to have a new spirit, and for our heart to become flesh, for your word to rest upon us. Father, we are trusting you, Father, for capacity, grace, Lord, for revelation, and for transformation as a result. Thank you, our Father. We give you praise. You are not slack towards your promise as some count slackness. But Father, you will bring it to fruition. Thank you, our God. We exalt your holy name. Be thou exalted, Father. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.